Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 5:03 on The Fan. Rob and Suk. Sa.
You guys shut up.
Hope you're having a good Thursday.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there. I'm looking right at him.
He can. I'm covering up my tattoo, so you won't know it's me.
Yeah, you've got a... It looks like you maybe nicked your head a little bit shaving.
No.
You okay up there?
I took a softball to the top of it yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
You played in the intercom softball game, didn't
you? I did
you?
Play in the intercom softball game.
How'd it go? Did you guys win?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, the other team... I felt bad for him, but... You know, it's intramural. They had like seven girls and like three guys, and by three guys, I mean,
sexist,
they had one guy and then two others that were not the most athletic in the world. So
did you hit home runs?
I did not. It's the first time.
Did you grunt when you hit?
I did not grunt. I had warning track power, apparently.
Flew out to the track. Did you?
No. Well, one time I did. The other two, there's no way the outfielders are catching any of those balls.
Oh, right.
You know, it was one of those.
Right.
When you're having to backpedal in softball, you're not.
They see it, but they can't quite.
You're not making those plays.
So what happened? You got hit by a ball?
I was playing first, and I was holding a beer while playing first. So that was probably my first.
You're allowed to do that, huh?
Whether I was or not, I did. I had a cold snack in my hand the entire time while playing first base. And the third baseman airmailed one. And I went up for it, and it was one of those, it was really high, and I jumped for it, and it hit the top of my glove, and then bounced down and caught me in the top of the head. So there's like a little red mark there.
Yeah, I see the seams.
The seams. More importantly, did not spill the cold snack, though.
That's the most important thing.
I mean, that
is
the most important thing. But yes, it was one of those games where I realized early on that, you know, it did not need to be taken that seriously.
Hey, last night a streak ended in sports that is not being talked about, but damn it, we're going to talk about it.
Yes,
because I think it's significant and interesting.
I think I know the streak of what you're speaking.
Do you?
I think so.
All right. Well, we'll see. Does see if you got a big sports brain.
East Coast team.
No.
Oh, then I don't know what you're talking
Doesn't.
About. All right.
It's a big deal. Right. I think. You may disagree, but we'll talk about it nonetheless. Coming up tonight in the club, I have myths about buying airfare.
Oh, is this the you got to go on incognito mode, right? That's the one I always hear.
What do you mean?
You're searching for flights.
Oh, yeah, because they know that.
Yeah, do the incognito browsing.
Right. Is that a myth or not?
I always do it. I don't know whether it's a myth or not, but that is one of those that
they say you're supposed to do that because if you're looking for flights and you don't book it, they know what you're looking for. And so the next time you come back, they jack up the prices.
I have no idea if any of that's true, but to this day, I heard that years ago. And to this day, I do the incognito browsing.
Well, we'll find out. We also have a story of a 10,000% markdown. Do you think that's a good deal?
That does seem like it would be a bit of a discount.
If something were marked down 10,000%, you'd buy it just because.
Hmm. Well, I've long said on the program that it bothers me when someone says that it's a sale and it's like 10% off, 15% off.
You don't think that's a sale?
No. No, I don't.
What constitutes a sale? 30%, right? Didn't you say this?
You don't get my attention till 25% off. you don't really pique my interest until 35. At 50 now, now we're talking. And at 60 to 70, really, now we're buying.
Is it really half off, though?
Probably not.
Right.
But still, you know, it's like when you see one like a going out of business. You do this all the time with like furniture. You're like, oh, a furniture place is going out of business. They're like, everything on sale. Everything must go. And then you go in. And it's like, hey, this is regularly, you know, $1,900. We're letting it go for $17,500. No, no, you're not letting it go. That's not a going out of business
thing. Yeah, we'll give you half off our really, really, really jacked up prices.
Exactly.
Therefore, you're now paying retail. Congratulations. Well, we've got a story of a 10,000% markdown, and we will get to that in the club. That'll be 6 to 7. Andrew Nemec has just come in here.
He chastised you.
He did. He said, people read the Oregonian, and I still think that they don't.
Yes, everyone reads the Oregonian, and you should. You should read Nemec's.
No one reads the Oregonian. However, people do read Oregon Live.
There you go.
I think that that's still a thing. Mm. And Nemec's on there. You can find him there.
He said that's a fair compromise.
Yeah. So Andrew will be on with recruiting at 7, but right now the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost-Brewed Coors Light.
It's kind of off the chain.
This is America. We're about winning championships.
Relax.
Oh, me too. I love you.
Number five.
Hey, whatever happened to Michael Crabtree?
Well, I do know what happened to him. He signed.
Yes.
Nothing
You're
happened
correct.
To him. Nothing happened to him. He
well,
just
until
signed
today. Today, did anybody know that he was a free agent?
I did because I've heard him linked to many teams. He was one of those guys that.
Look at you just following. You're like a Michael Crabtree P1.
There were a lot of teams that were looking for receiver help, and it was a matter of time before someone signed Crabtree.
Can I say that I've never thought he was any good? Can
really?
I say that? Am I allowed to say that? Yes, really.
Yeah, I don't think you can say that.
Oh, really?
No. Well, you
can't strike it from the record.
You can say it, but it's a bad take.
I never thought he was any good.
That's a bad take. Now you can say that you thought he was overrated, but you can't say that he wasn't good.
Okay.
Crabtree had good years.
Well, he is now being signed by the Arizona Cardinals, so he will not get the ball.
They are going to be so bad, and I do love that Kingsbury is claiming that like this isn't their offense, right? He's like,
four.
Wait till week one when we unleash hell on everybody. Dude, they are going to be terrible. And by the way, Crabtree, he had several years where he had 75-plus catches and, you know, 8-9 touchdowns.
Look, I am my own scout, okay? My scouting department gives him low grades. Never liked him.
He had like 5 straight years where he was really good.
Fake news.
Wrong.
We've got some baseball tonight. How about the Yankees and A's? That's a good series.
Yeah.
You like that?
You like that? You like that?
You like that? The Astros and Tigers are playing again. The Tigers beat the Astros last night, and it was one of the biggest upsets in the last 15 years of baseball because the Tigers were plus 450.
Nice.
Plus 450.
You were still doing your little baseball betting thing. Maybe
no, they wouldn't have. They wouldn't have.
Oh,
been
yeah, because you.
It was only plus 200 or lower. Red Sox have already beaten the Royals in 10. That final score, 5-4. Cubs shut out the Giants today, 1-0. Kyle Hendricks just keeps being Kyle Hendricks.
Number three.
What else? Your Mets are winning. 2-0.
Mets had another walk-off last night.
Saw that.
Dude, it is insane. I don't know what the... I keep waiting
They're for the... They're 66 and 60.
I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, but they... Since the All-Star break, they have been phenomenal.
Patrick Chung, former Oregon Duck, New England Patriot, indicted on cocaine charges.
Yeah, I guess the cops showed up at a breaking and entering in his house and found either evidence of or found some coke, and they didn't arrest him. They said they did an investigation, and then they later determined that a crime had been committed, went back and indicted him on cocaine possession.
How about that?
So we
don't know what the NFL is going to do.
No, the Patriots did come out and said that they were monitoring the situation. Now, he is recovering. He hasn't played. Remember, he broke his arm in the Super Bowl. But he was not at practice. So whether he gets convicted or not, my guess is he's going to run afoul of the NFL and he'll get dinged 4 games. What happens through the legal process? Who the hell knows?
He's doing court August 28th.
Let's also not act like if he is doing a little coke, Trust me, cocaine exists in the NFL in plenty of circles.
Number two.
Yeah, it's just more shocking that he's cocaine guy, you know?
Yeah, like, it is a little bit.
Chung like, parties.
Chunger.
Cowboys offer to running back Ezekiel Elliott is making him the second highest paid running back in the NFL. Dallas, now here's the thing. Dallas wants, this is Ed Werder, he's reporting on this. He says they're getting closer. The strides are being made to getting Ezekiel Elliott back to the Cowboys. Dallas wants to give him Le'Veon Bell money, which was 4 years, $52 million with $35 million guaranteed. Elliott wants Todd Gurley money, which is 4 years, $60 million, $45 million guaranteed. So chances are they'll meet somewhere in the middle, but the Cowboys have already upped their offer from Le'Veon Bell money, but they're not to Todd Gurley money. That's how we're looking at this. So.
Well, it sounds like they don't want to give him Todd Gurley money. What's wrong with being the second highest paid running back in the NFL?
Why can't you give him Todd Gurley money?
Because they don't want to.
Don't want to. He's worth $8 billion. Just give him Todd Gurley money. He is as good as Todd Gurley. He's better than Todd
Gurley. Better than Todd Gurley because Todd Gurley's hurt. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those, they're, apparently they're not comfortable going there.
All right.
Look, every in the salary
business,
cap, in the salary cap era, every dollar matters.
That's
especially
right.
When you got to pay Cooper and you got to pay Dak. And,
yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's right. Very fair. And number one is that, this is exciting news. Beginning on Tuesday at 9 a.m., out at Chinook Winds Casino in Lincoln City, they are opening a sports betting lounge. You will be able to place sports bets at Chinook Winds Casino only in their lounge. No app.
No.
You have to be in the
lounge.
That's
the only downside to this.
You will be able to do that beginning Tuesday at 9 a.m. And this will include NCAA bets, college football.
So basically, get some buddies, get the bus, haul on down there. Park it for that opening weekend of the NFL and bet your greedy little hearts out.
The opening weekend of college is next weekend, and that is Auburn, Oregon.
Yeah.
So they're opening in time for you to go place a bet on the Auburn-Oregon game in Chinook Winds Casino.
That is so awesome that we finally have a sports book. Because the A&A, it could be a while. They said they're going to kind of slow play that. So, you know, you've got what, depending on where you live, between an hour and a half, 2.5 hours away from a legitimate sports book.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light on game day. Be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly. Okay, last night a streak ended, and it needs more love. We'll tell you what it is next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yes, we're very excited here. We have pep in our step today because... you know, this is a show that likes to dabble in the sports gamble.
Absolutely.
And so Chinook Winds coming out of nowhere. I mean, we didn't hear anything about them putting this together. As a matter of fact, I've been sitting here for months going, God, what are the Indian casinos doing? What is anybody doing? Can't somebody just pop up a sports gambling shop in Portland?
The last we heard, the closest thing we were getting was the Oregon Lottery was going to have an app, and they were going to try to launch it by football. And
they're delayed.
And we were all excited about that. Yeah, and then it got delayed. And so I just kind of assumed that, you know, football was on hold this year when it came to betting. And now this.
Chinook Winds Sports Betting Lounge opens Tuesday.
Well, and if Chinook Winds does it, then I'm assuming
guaranteed
Spirit Mountain will pop up, and
yep,
and then hopefully A&A eventually will get on board.
I still, and I've heard interviews with the Oregon Lottery people, although they may not be the right ones to ask, but I still don't know what is stopping someone from opening up a legal sports book, just like, say,
just on the street, right?
Yeah, just in Washington Square Mall or whatever. I mean, wherever you want to put it, in your sports bar. Somebody has got to answer that question for me because I can't get a straight answer out of anybody.
Yeah.
On
well, it. I do know, like, when, like, it's great when you're in Europe, like, if you're walking around London, you just go on the corner, like, there's just bookie shops, right? Like, now you can go to the liquor store and then go over and place your wager on anything. And I'm with you, everything I've read.
It's ready.
It's ready.
Just do it.
That Oregon has that. Now in Washington, it's not the case. Washington's further behind, but Oregon was one that would already had kind of some lax laws on the books to begin with. And it seems to be that if someone had the backing, the financial wherewithal to do it, but there has to be more than that. Otherwise, why wouldn't someone do it? Because sports gambling makes money. Right?
Well, like, but we said that about like the Indian casinos, and here Chinook Winds has one.
Yeah.
We just didn't know they were working on it. So maybe there are people that are working on it.
Someone's going to be walking down Glisten or Couch Street, and then next thing I know, I'm like, yeah. Hey, what?
Hey, a window.
what's happening here?
I'll take the Raiders.
Put it next to a pizzeria. I'll tell you what, you throw one next to like, Sizzle Pie or, Flying Pie. You put a gambling thing in the back of that, I'll be there all day. Sign me up.
Now, could you put one in like, well, we had like, what's the place, Kingpins, where Dirt and Sprague did their thing the other night?
Put one in the back.
Could you put one in there with, I mean, I know it's like a family environment, but.
I don't know.
I mean.
Why can't you?
How great would that be?
Well you have a bar there, right?
Right.
So why not just have a little velvet rope and it's like, sorry, kids, this is the grown-up place.
Well, yeah, because they have Oregon Lottery gambling in there.
Exactly.
So.
Why not?
Come on, Kingpins, let's get that done.
Well, you've already got the big screen, right? Up there where you can put all the TVs.
You could put the betting lines up over the bowling lanes. Come on, Bill.
Can I gamble while bowling?
Let's do this.
My son wants to go bowling for his birthday with some of his friends. You're telling me that I could bowl while they could bowl while I drink and gamble?
I don't see why any of it couldn't happen.
You're scratching me right and where I need.
Before we get to the streak story I want to get to, think about this. So I forget what year it was. 2003-ish, whenever we were trying to get the Expos to move to Portland.
Yeah.
Governor Kulongoski shot it down, but one of the Indian casinos, I think the Grand Ronde Tribe.
Yeah, I remember this.
Offered to pay for a Major League Baseball stadium.
Build the whole thing.
And Kulongoski said no.
And all they wanted in return was they would build you a stadium, but they wanted inside the city of Portland.
Yep.
And I think they were willing to even go out to like Gresham. But they wanted to be able to build a casino.
That's right.
In the greater Portland area.
If Kulongoski,
with a water park, let's just not forget that part.
Yeah, that wasn't that the one that they proposed in Gresham too?
I think
they were talking about that.
Yeah, they wanted to build one and there'd be like a hotel and they'd build a water park, kind of like a Great Wolf Lodge.
Gee, that
meets
would suck.
Casino.
Okay, so think about this. If Kulongoski or whomever, if we all came together and liked that idea, which a lot of people did like that idea.
I know I'm on board.
And if it was a legit offer.
Yeah.
This area could have had not only a Major League Baseball stadium 15 years ago, but a casino that could now open a sports book right in Portland. Right in Portland. So you would not only have Major League Baseball, or likely you would have Major League Baseball.
Sure.
You would have a casino with a sports book right in Portland, and we said no.
Well, there was zero chance because for whatever reason back then, weed was this way too, right? Gambling and weed have come a long way as far as the stigma around it. But if you go back 15 years, weed was still viewed as like this evil, horrible thing that was going to destroy your children. And I learned it by watching you, Dad. And gambling was going to infect us all, and we would we'd mortgage our house, and we'd lose the college fund, and all that. There was like this real evil stigma around it, and for whatever reason, and by the way, thumbs up, people. We've just matured since then, and we've realized that there will always be a percentage of people that have problems with stuff, but dude, these aren't bad things. We've all loosened up on it, and people come around to those two things. It just wasn't the right time. What would be interesting now, though, is like right now. If an Indian casino or a tribe, a Grand Ronde or whatever, came and said, hey.
But we've already got group that wants to put it in there. It's not
exactly. But I'm saying like, let's take that. Let's say there was an actual team that was wanting to move here or expansion. And all we needed was a group to, the financing behind it. Would there be a different sentiment amongst people and political leadership?
Right.
If they said, you will not pay a dime. We will build you. An $800, $900 million stadium right in the, in Portland, wherever you want it. And all we want is we want to be able to build a casino here too. I'll bet you that, I don't know if it gets done.
I don't think it does.
But I'll bet you that it's a lot more well-received now than it would have then.
I would agree with that, but I bet you it wouldn't happen. They wouldn't do it.
It's just, I don't know. I still don't understand the fear behind that, right? It's like... There's that notion, like, if you bring in a casino or a sports book, is it the element that comes around with it? Haven't we done away with that, too, with, like, the weed shops? It's like, oh, if you get a weed shop, all the evil people that are around there, they're all over suburbia, right? And crime isn't going through the roof.
All right. It is 525 on the Fan. Let me tell you that I think this is cool, and I want to see if you think it's cool, too. But nobody's talking about this. It's not a headline on ESPN.com, so therefore nobody knows about it. But – Joe Posnanski, noted baseball scribe.
Yes.
Who I like a lot. I think he's good. He has been making a big deal out of this, and he noted that last night this streak ended. And it was that last night was the 30, would have been the 38th straight day in Major League Baseball where at least one player hit two home runs in a game.
No, I did not see this.
37 days in a row that had happened. And last night, no one hit two in a game. Therefore, the streak is over. That breaks the old streak by over a week. And there were 100, he notes there were 107 players that hit two home runs in a game during that streak. 107 in over a month, in basically 5 weeks.
Dude, that's crazy.
It's nuts.
I hadn't seen that anywhere.
Where no, did you nobody say you saw this. Joe Posnanski. Nobody's
just
talking
on Twitter
about
or
this.
Something.
Yeah, he's a baseball writer, and yeah. So in 1992, so how's this for context? This is all from Joe. He says 107 players hit two home runs in a game during the 37 straight day streak. In 1992, 110 players hit two home runs in a game all season.
Jeez, you think the game has changed? Just a scooch.
Well, and he talks about that. He says,
well, that like if you go way back, was it Babe Ruth? One or 2 years, Babe Ruth had more home runs, I think, than every other team combined in Major League Baseball.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's one of those. It's either.
Well, now everybody's hitting home runs.
Everyone's hitting home runs. But I'm saying like if you go way back, you know, obviously baseball has changed. But yeah, there was that stat. And I'll have to look it up to find the exact. But yeah, Ruth would have more home runs by himself than almost any other team in, you know, combined.
I think that Posnanski lays out a really good sort of level-headed approach to all the fuddy-duddies who are screaming from the mountaintops that baseball is unwatchable now and where's the small ball and whatever happened to just, you know, slapping a single the other way or, you know, all that stuff. You know, you get that old guy who just doesn't like the way the game is going. It's either home run or strikeout, right?
Yeah.
He puts it this way, and I think he's this is a good approach to thinking this way about baseball now. He says, is it good or bad for baseball, all these home runs? Hard to say. But the best thing a pitcher can do is strike out the batter.
Yes.
And that's happening at a record level.
Yes.
The best thing a hitter can do is hit a home run, also happening at record levels. So he said, the question is not that baseball is bad. We're getting more of the best that they can do every night than ever before. In other words, you are getting immensely great baseball that's being played because you're seeing the best a pitcher or hitter can do way more often. His question is, well, is that fun to watch? I think that's more the question. And some people don't think it is. He thinks it is, but he would like more sort of nuance in the game like there used to be. But the reality is you are getting some of the pitchers that you're seeing and some of their pitches and then some of the hitters and what they're doing with those pitches is truly, truly a golden age of baseball. We've never seen anything like it. But just some people don't think it's as fun to watch.
This is like my godsend. This is how I love baseball
right now.
But it's so good.
But I wonder like this, and maybe it is.
So Joe Posnanski, do you know him?
I did not know.
You don't know Joe? He's an old scribe from Kansas City. He's really good. He's a very smart guy, very thoughtful guy, and he's a little different as a baseball follow. But you would like him. He's the one that laid this out, and I think he's right about it.
It's interesting, and maybe this is apples to oranges here, but if I told you you could watch an NFL game where the vast majority that you were going to get, more often than not, you would either get, you know, a 70, because wouldn't you say the best thing you can do in football, right? Break off, let's say, a 70-yard touchdown.
Big plays,
right?
Yeah.
And on defense, it's a sack or an interception, right?
Yeah.
What if I told you that you could watch an entire football game and the majority of the action was either going to be 75-yard touchdowns mm-hmm. or sacks.
I think it would be exciting as hell.
Would it? Or eventually would you just be like, literally nothing else happens. Like,
right, that's the thing is in baseball, other things are still happening.
Yes, they are happening. They're just happening at lower rates. Like
just because home runs and strikeouts are up doesn't mean you're not still seeing singles, doubles, walks, stolen bases, wild pitches, errors.
You're seeing less of those things.
It's just not as frequent.
I think it would be exciting.
Like you get every play is going to be like you get 3 yards or you get a touchdown, right?
I mean, can I ask this question? Are we already kind of trending towards that in the NFL? You see so many big touchdown plays,
and you see
a lot of sacks, and you see a lot of turnovers, a lot of wild plays.
I think you see a lot of punts.
The defense.
Boring.
Remember for a while there, the defenses couldn't compete, and
Mike's point, and somebody brought this up on the Better You Today text line at 55305, Kansas City-St. Louis, or Kansas City-LA game last year.
Yeah, it was horrific defense, but
that game,
it was entertaining.
You know, that's a pretty rare game.
Yeah.
And that kind of game is happening more often.
True.
But what about basketball?
What was that, like 55-52 was that game?
Yeah. Something like that.
What a great game.
There was defense played at the end. Remember, Mahomes threw a couple picks.
Well, that's kind of Poznanski's point.
Yeah.
Is, yes, the game was 55-51, so you may say, or whatever it was, you may say no defense. Well, no, there were great defensive players making great defensive plays on that field, but the offense was just too good.
Yeah.
So it was great offense against great defense. The offense just won out. And that's his point here. You're seeing great pitchers. And you're seeing a lot of great hitters, and hitters are even the hitters that aren't the greatest are achieving the thing that is the best that they can do at the plate.
Hmm. Yeah, and you're seeing it. I understand the narrative. I don't know if I'm totally on board with it, but I see where he's coming from.
Well, it's really a fact. His thing is. What you should be debating is that fun to watch? And I think that's where you're coming in. It's like, maybe it's not as fun to watch.
Yeah.
Well, like the NBA.
Well, if you're watching...
All the three-pointers in the NBA and the spacing and everything that's changed.
The difference is, to me, when I'm watching Golden State, and even in some teams like that, it can be entertaining. But when I'm watching the Houston Rockets at times launch 55 and they, you know, and it's an off night, it's brutal. Same thing, if I'm watching the Yankees play, I think the Yankees have a great lineup. It's interesting. But then when you watch some of these teams that are poorly constructed and can't compete in today's game, it's brutal.
Yeah, but Suk, that would be the same way
in any age. But
because
I'm just
saying, bad teams.
The bad baseball that's being played is some of the worst that I've seen. I do find average baseball to be at times very tough to watch.
Well, like this guy says, the biggest problem with baseball is so many fewer plays are being made in the field.
Yes.
There's less action.
And you can sit around at times and you can go a couple innings where literally nothing happens. And at times it can be quite a bore. But I get it. If you're watching, you know, I've really enjoyed watching the Mets these last couple months. But if you're a Yankee fan, you're an Astro fan, you're Dodgers, I get it, man. It's some great, entertaining baseball.
All right. Well, last night the streak ended. And so what do you think? Do you agree with me that why is that not being talked about more? I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a bit of a it's.
I haven't heard
a,
anything about it.
No.
That's the crazy thing.
37 straight days in Major League Baseball, the streak ended last night where at least one player hit two home runs or more in a game.
It's a fun little fact.
Every night for 37 straight nights. That to me is incredible.
Yeah. All right. So this is what I was thinking of. So in 1927, when Ruth hit 60 home runs, which was the record until Maris got it right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading this article. This was a long time ago, but I found the article. They're saying that is way more impressive than Maris's 61 and even Bond's 73. And this is why. So in 1927, when he had 60, that was more than 14 teams total. 14 teams did not have 60 home runs. And the league average for home runs per team was 58. And Ruth hit 60. The year Maris hit 61, he didn't beat any teams, right? Same thing with Bonds.
Okay.
And the league average when Maris hit 61 was 153 per team and Bonds 185 per team. So think about that. 61 for Maris and the league average 153.
And what year was Maris? Was that
61? Wasn't it? 61 and 61?
Was it 61?
Was it 61? I'm not certain.
So you're saying that the league average of home runs per team from 1961 to when Barry Bonds hit 73 only went up by 30. That's incredible because now it's probably like 100 more this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 1961.
1961. So yeah, the league average was 153. Bonds was 185. Ruth,
isn't that crazy?
58 was the average, and he hit 60. So they're saying that the article that I read a while back just said that that doesn't get talked about enough as far as being the greatest achievement in baseball history.
Yeah, I see.
They say
I
there's
see
nothing else like that, and they reference in here about the strikeout record and the wins record, and comparatively speaking, he's making the point that that's the single greatest accomplishment in baseball history when Babe Ruth did that in 1927.
Wow.
We got this text, though, that
listen
said,
to that.
But aren't you getting more of the worst thing you can do in baseball, strikeouts?
Yes.
Well,
it's the best thing you can do from a pitcher's perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say, from a batter's perspective, yes. The pitchers are winning.
But sometimes when you're watching it, it's one thing if you're watching a dominant pitcher, right? If you're watching someone up there and it's dealing. But, man, sometimes when you're going through and you're just watching some anonymous schnook from the Indians or you're going through the bullpen, it doesn't feel like dominant pitching. It just feels like bad hitting. And you see more and more guys that are batting 225 in starting lineups on playoff teams. And it I get it, man. It can be really hard to watch.
I don't know. I actually am with Mike on that. And when I watch, I see really, really, really good pitches and really good pitchers.
Because even people you would consider to be average, I think are actually really good.
Yes.
Some of the movement they get on these pitches is stupid.
Have you watched Liam Hendricks?
I just watched him last night.
I was watching that game too.
Strikeout.
Dude. Liam Hendricks might be the best pitcher in baseball right now.
Yeah.
He is so freaking good.
He struck out LeMahieu and Judge with two on and one out.
He's a reliever for the A's.
Throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, painting the corner.
Oh, my God.
And then dropping this nasty slider at, like, 88.
And he's just some guy named Liam Hendricks, right? Like, nobody's ever really heard of him. That's how good baseball is right now. At least, that's how I view it with the pitchers anyway. All right. So, coming up next... issues in Canada. Remember, they're playing a preseason game up there? Or are they?
Something happened with the field.
We'll get to that next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Well, tonight, the Raiders and the Packers are playing a preseason game up in Canada.
Well, they're kind of playing a preseason game.
Relax.
They're playing, what, 75% of a preseason game?
Cannot wait to watch this in Hard Knocks, by the way.
So here's what's going on. So they're in Canada,
Winnipeg.
In the Canadian football fields, the goalposts is the front of the end zone.
Yeah.
So, obviously, when the American football comes up there, they have to move the goalpost to the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
Well, they have had problems filling the holes where the old goalposts were once they moved them. They deemed the field unsafe, and just before the game, they were talking about having to cancel.
But they didn't.
Yeah,
because they sold a bunch of tickets. They already made the travel there. They need to evaluate some players. And so they couldn't have you in the end zones. That was unsafe. They couldn't cancel the game, so they came up with a solution.
They are playing on an 80-yard football field. So technically they're playing 80% of a football game.
And because of that, they've eliminated kickoffs. So there's no kickoffs. Each team just gets the ball at the 15, which would like be getting the ball at the 25. But you're getting it at the 15 because the field's only 80 yards.
Yeah, so we're watching right now, and it looks like the Raiders are driving. We're trying to see what that looks like, but they're not quite down there yet. So,
and because of that, which I'm not 100% certain why this would make an impact, because it would only affect the players in the end zone, but no one's playing. They didn't play Derek Carr. They didn't play Aaron Rodgers. Basically, both teams refuse to play any of their starters because of this.
So how do you feel if you're a scrub? You're like, hey.
Yeah, what the hell?
Well, I'm not playing.
Doesn't matter if I get hurt. I don't understand the whole getting hurt thing. You're not playing on the part that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's different.
I think they made that decision early, and then they just stuck with it.
They're just like, yeah,
they're like, hey, man, we may play this game, but our starters ain't playing. We ain't getting anybody hurt.
Yeah. So I didn't read anything else about the field being a concern other than the patches.
Yeah, so look, they've got the pylons at the 10.
Yeah.
So the end zone is the 10-yard line to the actual goal line.
But how bizarre is that? And that, like, there's nothing that would indicate other than the little pylon that you can't really see. You're just, like, He's at the 20. He's at the 50. Touchdown. What? Like, if you're a receiver, that's got to be a trip, right? Like, you're running an out, and all of a sudden you're at the 5, but you're in the middle of the end zone.
Hey, got to be nimble, Jay. Gotta
I guess.
Be nimble.
And by the way, the field patches, like, if you look up the photos, it's pretty bad.
It reminds me of, do you remember the Big Ten championship game last year? It was Wisconsin and Ohio State, I think, and the guy had to come out and fit. The turf popped up.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And the guy had to come out, and everybody was watching him fill in with the little rubber
pellets.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
He did a good job, that guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure.
Well, they needed that guy because apparently they can't do it here. In fact, I was on the Twitter feed. Someone says that someone needs to call this man, and they've got
the turf guy,
the turf guy from the Big Ten title game when he was out there filling in with rubber pellets and tamping everything down. Yeah, he saved the day, but apparently they're not doing it here. And by the way, that is an embarrassment. You're the NF freaking L.
Right. You've known for how long that they were going up there to play?
Months, maybe even a year.
Come on.
And no one figured this out? And this is on the heels.
It happened in Mexico, too.
I was going to say, this is on the heels of last year having a regular season game had to get moved at the last minute because the field in Mexico was bad.
For heaven's sake. By the way.
Stop playing these games then.
My Ravens are up 19-0 in the second quarter.
Holy Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh is covering again.
That would be John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh.
Do you think that Harbaugh secretly gambles on preseason?
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, yes.
He's got all these shell corporations. How many games in a row with this now that he covered? You say he's covered like 13 in a row?
No. They've won 14 preseason games in a row. His against the spread record in his last 15 preseason games is 13-2.
What if he's got all these shell shell corporations and they just bet large sums of money on the preseason and this is how he this is how he makes some supplemental income by taking these preseason games way too seriously.
Well, these games, I don't know. Let me look up the spread here. I'm gonna find out what the point spread on that game was. But they are up 19-0. Yeah, they were favored by 3. They're gonna cover.
Oh yeah.
Again.
So basically, you know, if you want to make some money, week
bet
4,
his
man.
Ass. Yeah.
Bet
I mean,
it.
You've kind of already missed the boat, but I guess a lot of the gamblers have known for a long time that there are two guys in the NFL that are current head coaches that preach winning in the preseason. They think it's really important.
Yeah.
One is John Harbaugh. The other is Mike Zimmer. They both have really, really, really good preseason records. And, tonight is more evidence of that. We also have one other preseason football note before we take a break here. Patriots are playing the Panthers. Mm-hmm. Pats are up 7-0. It's in the first quarter. But Cam Newton got hurt, and he is not coming back into the game. He hurt his foot.
Oh, that's not good.
Not good at all.
That guy's had a couple years in a row where he's battling stuff. Well, and hopefully it's nothing serious because the league is better when Cam Newton is good. Right. When Cam Newton's healthy, Carolina is a dangerous football team.
He had surgery on his left ankle in 2014. Tonight, they were toying with his left foot and ankle after a sack. They took him off to the locker room, and now they're saying he won't be back.
Well, and hopefully he's just not coming back simply because it's the preseason and it doesn't matter and there's nothing serious there. But it is. I mean, this is supposed to be the game where starters will play two and a half quarters. And so if you're Green Bay and if you're Oakland, your starters haven't gotten any work. So I wonder if week 4, if Rodgers and Carr and all those, I wonder if they're going to get a half. Cause normally in that fourth preseason game, they don't play at all. So you wonder if they're going to get some work next week. Otherwise they just go in. I mean, I guess if you're Aaron Rodgers, do you really need it? Maybe you do just go in raw and say, I don't need the preseason. But of all the games for this to happen for Green Bay and Oakland, I would think that this would be the worst case scenario.
All right, it is 5:49 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
May or may not have some Francesa audio for you. We're efforting.
We went back and looked. He lost it the other day on the Mets. Even though
why?
Managerial decisions. He was seriously going to have a heart attack.
Well, I have been watching a little bit of the Mets.
Yeah.
Because they've been playing better. And I do have one thing. Like, why do they keep running Edwin Diaz out there?
I don't know.
They're in a race and they keep putting him out there?
I don't know.
Well, and he sucks.
And they still use Lugo as the setup guy, and he's been lights out.
Yeah, but, I know. It's weird. I guess
they're trying to bring, you know, the Eddie Diaz of last year back.
He hasn't been good all year.
Looked at the Cam Newton injury, and it is weird in that he doesn't really get hit. He's under some pressure, and he hops around a little bit, and he goes down, and no one lands on his foot or anything, and it doesn't show him walking off the field, but it shows him on the bench getting evaluated, and they're looking at his foot, and there's, like, tears in his eyes, and he's covering his face with his hand.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, whether that's really painful or he knows that something's bad, but no one landed on it or anything. It was just kind of – he did have a couple little start and stops, like stutters as he was trying to juke people under pressure, and then he just goes down, and then the next thing you know, they're showing him on the sidelines, and he certainly did – he looked like he was in a lot of pain and was under some duress.
Well, I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
Because he's been through a lot. You know, Cam Newton is not everyone's favorite.
He's a lot to take.
But when you watch that All or Nothing on Amazon about Carolina's season last year, I think you will appreciate him more if you watch that show.
Yes.
He's a lot more mature and a better leader than maybe he sometimes shows. And he's had his moments, you know, where he was all pouty at the Super Bowl. And what was the other one where he got real bitchy about something? But
well, remember he gave like a sweetheart to the reporter or whatever.
Oh, that's right. The woman wouldn't have any idea what
something like
how
that.
To evaluate football.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's had his moments, but at the same time,
Watchdogs over the Metropolitans.
I like him. I don't know why that was played.
That was a misclick. Sorry.
I feel like that was.
I was like, what?
It was a misfire.
Okay.
So anyway, hopefully he's okay because look, Carolina's nothing without him, right?
No.
So it's like,
and he's one of
they're
the more
interesting with him.
Yes, he's one of the more dynamic and interesting players in the league. Love him or hate him. The league is more interesting when Cam Newton's playing.
Okay, and we're going to wrap up this hour with Francesa audio, okay? Now, the Mets are 66-60.
Yes.
They're winning again tonight.
And a month and a half ago, they were written off for dead by everyone, including me, because they were awful.
Brody said the team was going to do well. The team was a disaster. He faced the music. Now, I told you Met fans every time, and a lot of you called up, and to say you didn't, you'd be lying. You all wanted him out in June. And I said, let the season play out. You know, Met fans and most of the media demanded Mickey be fired. He's done. He's shot. Bullpen shot. Team shot. Manager's shot. The pitching strategist. Who the hell knows what he does in the first place? Hey, you know what? Just listen. Let the Mets take the bus. Instead of coming north on a turnpike, send it south. Let the 69 Mets suit up tomorrow night. This is a disgrace.
Oh, my God.
Ah, the old voice
I can't
reason.
Even believe it. You can't lose this game.
One game?
They stink so bad, you can't even make it up.
Mike Francesa. He was the voice of reason, though.
Yeah, all those callers. Though.
All those callers. And don't lie about not calling.
No, they were calling for the manager's head.
Dude, that guy's great.
And by the way, I just saw on Twitter the UW is officially named Jacob Eason as their starting quarterback.
All right. And you don't like him. You think he sucks.
No, I have heard.
You said that. I've heard you say that.
I have heard from a lot of people that say that there is, you know, the five-star hype and all that. That he does not look like the next great thing, and that this was a real battle up there, and that both still may end up getting snaps, but it sounds like Eason has been declared the winner, and he will start for UW when the season gets going.
The club is coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.